Good afternoon, everyone. This is Stephen McCarthy from McCarthy Project, and we have been attacking life and sport since 2001. And today we are going to be discussing one of probably the most controversial subjects that is out in the open, meaning when you go up and talk to your coworker or your fellow athlete and you talk about how you are not taking vaccines or the flu vaccine, and they give you the funny look like, why in the world would you not want to not get the cold or not get the flu? And then you kind of pepper them a little bit and you find out that they get the flu just as much as you do and you didn't take the vaccine. So it is a very controversial, misunderstood subject. And today we have David Augustine from the Journal of Natural Food and Health to talk about the world of the flu vaccine and then also vaccine as a whole. How are you doing today, David?
I'm just great. Thanks for having me, Stephen.
I am totally looking forward to today because I do feel that this particular area is one of the, like I say, the most important pieces because you just know that corporations are not out to hurt you, right?
Not exactly.
It just can't be that they're going to
not
give
directly.
You is like good for you.
Well, so. It's interesting you made that comment about coworkers and what they think when you don't get the flu and you buy into the propaganda or advertisement that flu shots are safe and effective and absolutely necessary. Because the machine out there, the vaccine machine, has programmed people to think that people that don't get the flu shot are disease carriers. And just this week was issued a report saying now 59% of Americans, adults, think that it's your social duty to get fully vaccinated. So that's sort of the feedback system of the very sophisticated marketing and advertising program the Public Health Service does at our cost for marketing the vaccines from the pharmaceutical industry.
The funny thing you mentioned, and before we get started into a little bit more details below that, it's funny because I've always been a relatively healthy, through my years. And one of the things that always justified why I was healthy was I was a carrier of the disease. I'm like, well, it doesn't make sense that you would be a carrier to give it to somebody else, but you're not getting sick. So it's almost like is that the propaganda scheme where it turns it back around on the people that are healthy?
Yeah, it's the reverse. When you study vaccines and a lot of these things, you have to put on special glasses to see the reverse. Now, with what you just said is interesting because herd immunity is what you're talking about. And first of all, anybody can carry any kind of disease and be immune, even if they're vaccinated, because, it's like touching a doorknob and then you give the flu to somebody else. You don't even know it because, you're already kind of immune. Or because you're exposed, you're immune. You can be exposed, but your immune system fights it such that you won't even see symptoms. So the whole idea of herd immunity, which is really kind of what you're talking about, they're saying that 90% of us now need to get vaccinated, when originally, back in the 1940s, herd immunity was based on the fact that diseases swept through and enough people was exposed to the natural virus or bacteria that the whole community would have an immunity, and there would be a protective effect for the ones that weren't exposed to the natural disease. And that's the reason why these diseases, all of them, went out before the vaccinations were even given, was invented or in widespread use. They were all down, some of them 95%. And there were some diseases that have fallen, like typhoid, TB, and scarlet fever, that were very high back 1900, early 20th century, that have fallen down significantly out of existence without any vaccines at all.
So what they've taken as credit for decreasing the number of cases really naturally went through the community and was on the downward slope on its own.
Well, more than a downward slope, they were steeply declining, and they didn't. One classic one, which is really interesting, is the polio, because once they developed the live virus, they had so many problems with it, paralyzed a lot of people, the vaccine itself. And that's a really interesting one there, where you had an actual increase in polio due to the polio. And this was the great debate in the state medical associations, and is still well known today within the CDC. So we get a deadened virus for polio now, which is safer, but the ones being spread by Mr. Gates and the Gates Foundation in Africa and India is creating more paralysis than what very little polio they had there to begin with, because polio was basically eradicated from the face of the earth, except a few small pockets.
All right.
So
they want kind of the wow factor. have to take the time to understand that you almost have to sit down and say, okay, somebody wouldn't do that to me. And it really, you have to sit down and say, okay, you take the information in and you say, okay, there has to be something more. Why would somebody continue to research and give you more information if it wasn't true? So you have to kind of open up your mind to this thing, because it really is something that you just sometimes don't believe could happen. But now that that's taken place, let's move more over back into the flu position, because I think that's something that we're dealing with on a little bit more of a day-to-day basis, if you will.
Yeah, the flu shot and the marketing and advertising behind it is such an extreme exaggeration in nearly every case, because we'll get into that. But basically, you have to ask your question as a potential buyer of these vaccines, if they're safe and effective, and whether they're even necessary. So even if you say that, even if you determine that to all be correct, then you have to determine whether they're actually right for you, because a lot of people aren't suitable. They're not medically fit to take a vaccine because they do have risks. Now, on the flu shot, it's just like, or any vaccine, there's 106,000 deaths each year just from these prescription drugs. And that was in the Journal of the American Medical Association. But what people don't realize is, hello, vaccines are drugs by FDA definition. So obviously there are side effects, and these are all written, you know, in the package inserts that you get. Now, the flu vaccine is something they want you to get every year if you're pregnant or if you're an infant. But the flu vaccine manufacturers own warnings on their insert packet saying that there's no safety studies on whether it's harmful to the pregnant woman or their fetus or their future reproductive capacity. And that's on the Fluzone, that's on the Fluvax, and it's on, what's the other one, Fluverin. There's no safety studies, and they admit that. But they're the ones, the pregnant women are the ones they're saying is most important to line up to get it.
Let's go into a little bit more deeper, because you mentioned adults and children. Aren't the vaccines even more extreme on young people as far as the chemical reactions and what's included in the vaccine?
Yeah, the infant's immunity system hasn't really developed. Their brain-blood barrier hasn't developed. So they're more susceptible, as would be, you know, like, say, an AIDS patient or somebody that's immunocompromised. And these are the ones that they want to get vaccinated first, as well as the old people. Well, the flu vaccine doesn't work very well at all on the old people. Last year, at the most, and it was an exaggeration, that their flu shot last year was 9% effective on people over 65. And yeah, I'm on the show right now. Here's something. Here's something that would be very interesting to you and your listeners is the vaccine manufacturers seem to agree that the flu shot doesn't work. Well, that's because on their packaging, they said that there's been no controlled clinical studies demonstrating a decrease in influenza disease after vaccination with Fluzone or with Fluvival or the one called Effluria. So, I mean, we're talking about some hysteria here over Effluria.
Well,
there was this published report in Lancet. I've got it right here on my slide. I'm giving this publication to a crowd of Amish people this weekend. And part of it is my slide here on what was published in the Lancet that found that basically the bottom line is the national vaccine drive on the flu shot will keep 1.5 people out of 100 from catching the flu.
Now, I see this, and this is the funny thing about the whole flu position in the first place. Now, I'm going to just ask this question, and I know it's going to sound funny at first, but it really is the simpleness of it all. Ultimately, the flu vaccine is attempting to stop you from getting the flu that you get that lasts for 2-3 days. You just go down for the days, and then you get better, and
yeah,
that's the end of it. That's the thing we're trying to address here, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and almost every case is that way. I'll get into that. I've got a little more to tell you, but yes, you're right. I wrote an article called The Tamiflu Deception. Now, Tamiflu is one of these long-named chemicals, and you're supposed to drop these pills when the CDC, when you have first sign of flu symptoms. So you're supposed to run to the doctor, get a prescription. It's about $120 because it's like a 7-day course of pills. And the thing is, the manufacturers have done the study. I looked at the study, their trials, and it makes 70% of the kids get sicker for flu prevention. You take these pills to prevent the flu, 70% of them have diarrhea.
They get the side effect from it.
So you get flu-like symptoms from it, and the manufacturer tells you that in their study. Well, now it's no more valuable than a sugar pill. Well, that's the thing. I can give you some M&Ms. I'd say if you take this, you won't get the flu, and it'll be true for 99% of the people. Because you've already got a 1 in 10 chance. You got a 90% chance of not getting the flu anyway. So as you take these pills, whatever period it is, you're very not likely to get the flu. So you'll think that the pills did it. Well, when you have the flu, okay, what they do is they tell you take these pills, and you'll start feeling better in about 3 days. And
yeah,
people believe it. They believe it. They'll take the pills. So anyway, there's an awful lot of con and deception in not only just the studies that are made by pharmaceuticals and their partners in the public health system, paid for by our tax dollars, to convince you to get these flu shots and these other vaccines. So, I mean, you can rule out safety. You know, I think I've explained that that they don't work. Now, the rates. Did that answer? I don't think that answered your question. I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely, it does. Because it. I think people think that this flu shot is, the flu. I just can't have flu. You know, gosh, I can't have that. But really, are you going to risk the side effects for the potential of saving you from getting the flu, which we're talking about, is a 90% chance you're not going to get it anyways. And it's funny because it's a hysteria, like you mentioned, over something. It's like jumping, making a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, see, they tell you that 36,000 people die every year from the flu or around that number. And that's not true either, because their own statistic on the website, CDC, says this is the mortality tables. If you go there under flu, it's normally like around 1,500 people a year, and those are almost all of them are over 65. And you never had this many baby deaths from the flu before they started making them vaccinate the babies with it. Then the death rate went up from the flu. Children are three times more likely to get into the hospital because of flu after the flu shot, than three times more likely than people that aren't vaccinated with it. So, yeah, there are serious side effects, including paralysis and death. There's also miscarriage. During the swine flu thing, they had 42 times more miscarriages than what you would have expected. No, it was 1,500 more miscarriages than what would be expected. But it is also 42 times more deaths than what was the year before. Than they had this the year before they had this experimental swine vaccine.
Is it also moving to the infertility position as well?
Well, see, that's the thing. If it's powerful enough to kill a baby, it can also affect fertility. But it also, the babies that survive it, which is almost all of them, how neurologically impaired are they going to be when they come out? Well, as you know, I mean, the autism rates are extremely high, the high growth, from 1 in 10,000 before the vaccine makers got complete immunity from lawsuits. That was back in 1987. 1 in 10,000, now it's about 1 in 50. And that 1 in 50, that since that was early childhood school people, that data is only 5 years old. So if they do that another 5 years, it's going to be a lot higher than that, I think.
Yeah, I did hear that statistic that there was such a substantial, like, just a substantial increase, you know, just in the autism world. And, you know, and it goes into the brain and all that kind of stuff. Really is quite nasty stuff.
Yeah, well, see, you have to see the flu vaccine in the overall context of the whole vaccine schedule. And, I mean, you're looking at 49 doses of different vaccines before you reach school age of six. And the before the age of two, there's 25 doses. Some of these are completely unnecessary. The one is the human hepatitis B vaccine, which is given at birth. Now, the kids already got maybe two flu shots in the womb, and they've already got, if it was this year, a strong recommendation, pregnant women get the not just diphtheria and tetanus, but also pertussis. That's the three-in-one, which is more dangerous. That is directly correlates to the amount of crib death. That's the sudden infant death.
Yes.
SIDS. A lot of SIDS is due to the DPT. The Japanese proved that 20 years ago. But now I'm sitting here in Ohio, and not only America is the most vaccinated, they got the sickliest kids. 40% of the kids have chronic disorders, some multiple, and we've got the sickest kids in the world that are the most vaccinated. Well, it turns out we have the highest infant mortality rate than anybody anywhere in the industrialized world, and in Ohio it's the highest of all the states except one. So when the state of Ohio launched their infant mortality improvement program, did they mention the shots? No. Are they going to? No. But when Japan delayed DPT shots until after two, we give it at like 2, 4, and 6 months, something like that. And when they did that, their SIDS rates dropped by 50%.
This could make you mad. That this is different than just, hey, we got some information going a different direction. Because these companies are doing it with full knowledge of this information. This is not just something that, oh, oops, sorry, we made a mistake. This is documented data.
Well, not only that, see, what you say is very interesting if you understand organizational politics and how they keep these people thinking that they're doing saving the planet, saving the population. Well, turns out that the research is done. By the time, if it's good research, if it goes to the top, it's twisted. You know, the executive summary, they put that out into the media. People would think that, you know, vaccines cause autism, some harebrained idea like that, when these are neurotoxins. And so they want to shut the people up that talk a little bit different or question vaccines or preach that you should be educated before you get a vaccine. So the politics, when you're compartmentalized in these organizations, they put you in different spots. And they use people and take their brains and use them by the time it gets to the top, because there's big, big money involved. They cover up a lot of stuff. Because if they don't, they don't make the money, another pharmaceutical company will come and take them over. Are you still there?
Yes. It just, it's a...
But they know it. They know it.
Yes. And it's like...
And CDC, there's people in CDC that knows it. Because they had a meeting. The CDC had a meeting over mercury and autism. And
yep.
Three of the people said that they won't give their kids or grandkids vaccines because of the mercury. Well, they said they had the data at that point, because this was all FOIA'd from Freedom of Information Act by the Tampa Bay newspaper. And another law firm did an investigation, said the same thing. That was John F. Kennedy, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he's all for vaccine choice. So, yeah, there's a lot of deception.
Well, and now it's kind of, did you have any other information that you want to go? Because I kind of want to flip over, because there are solutions or things that you can attempt to do, not only by just saying no, but you could do some other natural, you know, food and hydration type things that will accomplish at the same level.
Exactly.
Do you have any additional information before we flip the direction a little
bit? Yeah, they always say the flu shot's the best prevention method. They don't tell you the best prevention method is vitamin D. And with vitamin D, that means vitamin A to kick that in. Most people are vitamin D deficient. They need to get out in the sun more. They need to eat animal fats so that they have enough cholesterol level in their fats under the skin, so when the sun hits it, it converts it to vitamin D. Yeah.
All these things are coming together, because I had heard that the sun was having less of effect on your body, that you wasn't able to absorb the vitamin D. And there's the reason why. Because we're over on the other side eating all the chemicals, so our body is not working properly, so it's not properly making that transition.
Well, yeah. If you don't have the cholesterol under your skin,
yep.
There's a lot of interesting things about vitamin D. It's probably the most miraculous vitamin that actually acts as a hormone, and it has everything to do with immunity in general. Well, so what they do is instead of telling you to take vitamin D and get out in the sun, they tell you to wrap up on a rainy day and put on sunglasses and these creams. These creams, some of them are known to cause cancer. Well, see, this is your skin cancer association that's putting out this front group for the sunscreen manufacturers, and they're telling you that you probably need to close the curtains in your house because the sun rays you can't escape, and on rainy days to put these creams on. Well, how are you going to get your vitamin D?
The another observation, too, is just as you see people as they get older and they go on these, you know, heart-safe diets, you know, no cholesterol, no trans fat, and then all of a sudden they turn a pasty white. And you're going, well, why is it? You used to be a very colorful person, but it's exactly this reason.
Yeah, it's really interesting on immunity. They want you to wash in this antibacterial soap that's 5,000 parts per million of triclosan, which causes infertility. It's a huge debate they're trying to ban, and it's everywhere. It's in your mouthwash, and so you try to use that, you know, prevent the flu. Well, When you wash off those, when you kill the good bacteria or the bad bacteria, you're killing the good bacteria. So that's why two studies have shown that using these antibacterial creams or soaps and stuff, wipes, it promotes superbugs. And you should be exposed to, you know, when you touch a doorknob, you know, you should probably rub it in your face. You know, it's like, you know, it sounds really funny, but I've heard before that if you eat your own boogers out of your nose, it does provide some immunity, because there's all kinds of little bugs in there. Well, that's how it works.
It works
exactly the way a flu shot is, except on the nasal spray that they want to give you. You're probably better off eating your own boogers. You know, I just thought of that. I haven't documented it yet. But if you spray that, you're contagious for 2 weeks. You become a disease carrier, and you blow it around the house and around school.
And then everybody else gets it.
Well, they can, yeah, and they do. Some. So you know, that's your artificial temporary immunity for some diseases that don't even exist, and for diseases that if you should get them, it's a good thing, because it builds your natural immunity for the next bug that comes along. And thirdly, because you get a benefit from that. They don't never look at the benefit of getting sick.
You know, it's interesting. I was watching another Bill Shinoblin. Have you heard of that name before?
Who?
Bill Shinoblin. One Accord Ministries out of Iowa, and he was talking about the start of the medicine with, I believe, was Hippocrates is who it was, I guess. And he talked about how there's two different forms of thought. There's one that said God planted inside of you your body's ability to fight off things and make its own corrections, and then it will do so. Then the other part is, okay, there is no God. You need to have an external influence on your body that will essentially fix it for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And what we're saying is that ultimately the first approach is far and away better over the long term.
Yeah, absolutely. The natural immunity activates both sides of your immune system. There's one side, I think it's called T1, the other side T2. I don't know the terms, but one, artificial immunity through inoculation or vaccination,
yes,
does not give you real immunity. So it's kind of like a trick. So at least on some of these vaccines. So when you get the natural viruses or wild viruses, they're called, or bacteria, then it activates both sides. So it makes a big difference.
All right, so now that we've kind of talked about the, you know, the bad side and what we can do, how would you go about creating, and like what I'm going to define as intellectual self-defense? How do we go about getting the information, you know, if it's not specifically covered, because it's really difficult in a 1 45-minute show to talk about all the different variables, how would you go about recommending people to research and get the information for themselves?
Well, I'd say the best source that's really very well-balanced is the National Vaccine Information Center. That's at nvic.org. And it's a very fine organization. They're not extreme, but they know that their stated mission is vaccine choice. And on this flu thing, people getting shot, they're being fired for not getting a flu shot inside these hospitals. And that's a different issue there. But I think now they're saying anybody that comes into the hospital, except for the, you know, that works or drug salesman or whatever, contractors. But see, I think what that's leading up to is even the patients will have to get their flu shot before they're admitted. And see, that's the high risk thing because they're already sick. They're already sick. And I've heard, I know, I mean, this is what makes the best comedy on earth. It's better than fluoride. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for the tragedy, it would be great comedy.
Yes.
Because there is two sides of it. So you
well,
do
where
have...
did our brains go? Where did logical thought? You know, even if you take it, and sorry to get off on the back to the original question that I asked, but we're talking about the flu. We're talking about something that you get it, you have it for a day and a half, you can't sleep one night. I know it's a pain in the butt. I know it's not fun, but that's it. You're over. You're done. You know what I mean? You take this.
Well, yeah, nearly everybody, except these older people that have pre-existing conditions, a lot of them are 80 years old or more. Then they blame it on the people that they died because people like you and me didn't get vaccinated. And people actually believe that. That's why vaccinated people and their parents are afraid of unvaccinated people. But yet, if they really believe their vaccines work, why do they have to be afraid of that the other kid might be carrying measles or something? Yeah, no, you're right. Where's the rational, logical thinking? It went out the year the book called Common Sense is Dead came out. And that's what I told Joe Salatin because he came out with a book that said everything I want to do is illegal. I said, well, I knew that back when the book Common Sense died. So, yeah, I mean, it's a perverted, it's false science. It's corruption. There's criminality involved. This has all come out in lawsuits. Just, you know, go into the law records. You'll see it.
It blows your mind because it just, you have to sit down and you go, come on. Come on, David. It's just not that bad. Come on.
Well, see, what it is, see, what the corporations are concerned about is the people's time off work. They have to pay them when they're not working. So if they can keep from getting the flu, they're happy. Well, turns out that with the existing flu levels, which are the same every year as they were before the flu shot and the death rates, if they can get everybody shot with the flu shot, then the statistic says that you're going to save 0.17 days a year on average, work hours, work days.
Yeah, but then you have to retrain employee, whatever you gained. I mean, if they end up having a side effect, they're not able to work for you, you know, meaning that they have some more of extreme, then you got to retrain them anyways. So it's like...
Well, with all the miscarriages, neurological problems, more asthma, more allergies that are all attributed to vaccines. I mean, they're correlated with vaccines. They definitely trigger them. Well, see, you're creating far more economic damage with the flu shot than you'd ever save, by far. It's probably, it's amazing. It's almost all cost and no benefit. And it's a huge cost.
The pharmaceutical companies. Only person that benefits. The only people that benefit in this whole scenario is ultimately
well,
the people
not
trying
exactly.
to stay away from.
I put a pencil of that, and I know this. You know, there's several $1 billion a year on the flu shot. Well, that's only just a fraction of. See, the real money is paying off these public health people that are going around and going to expensive meetings on vaccines, and they're out giving speeches, you know, like to Rotary clubs and stuff, and the schools. And there's so much infrastructure that's built into the nonprofits and consultants that are out there pushing these vaccines. That's a lot of money that to pay those people. So when you add that into the vaccine cost, it's a huge amount of money. And yet at the same time, see, some people believe that vaccines are the foundation of the entire medical industrial complex. It's the foundation for it. So that there's an awful lot of money being made for the treatment of the diseases and disorders that come out of the vaccines. Huge. I mean, just on autism alone, and I think it'd be a big mistake to say that autism is all caused by vaccine, because we know that's not true. It definitely triggers a lot of it. The question is how much of the vaccine is vaccines, and it may be 20 or 30%. You know, that high. Well, for every autistic, they figure it's $1 or $2 million of lifetime cost. Because they say there's no cause and there's no cure, and that's not true. And the whole autism industry that's been built around this is it's multi-billions. I mean, the genetic research alone is close to $200 million a year. And they've been doing that for 20 years. They've never found an autistic gene.
So, the funny thing is, it gets back in. You can see how the autistic world essentially is the young sibling to the cancer world, and how they've made cancer institutes and cancer hospitals and essentially glorified cancer so much that people are raising money for it and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, the walk-a-thon.
Yes.
Walk-a-thons. They never do anything except make money for the promoters of cancer. Well, let's, for example, American Cancer Society. And they're the ones that suppress the information, and they all do, of the real cause and the treatments. They don't talk about that. They talk about the support system. And when you're laying there on a ventilator in your last days, they've got their people coming in trying to get part of your state and get some funding to help the next people.
I mean, even you, it's funny because it's almost like you mentioned earlier. I think it's you've hit it accurate right at the beginning. You have to put on this information with different and look through different glasses.
You're absolutely right.
It takes that sort of paradigm shift to even make it even, because it's common sense. It makes logical sense, but I still come back to this, like, okay, that makes sense. I'm in on that. But then you think about tomorrow. They can't be. You know, it just can't be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's called true. Lying with statistics.
Yeah.
Lying with statistics. That's all it is. And if you look at the statistics the other way, like, for instance, with the flu, 300 million people, 10% get the flu, 30 million people in the United States. Sounds like a big number. But what it really means is that you got a 90% chance of not getting the flu. And if your average health, if you take the vitamin D, if you get out and move around a little bit more, and if you get some fresh air, play in the dirt, whatever you want to do, eat right, you're going to have a much better chance. I haven't had the flu for, I think, 25 years. Maybe 20, though. I know 20 for sure.
Yeah, don't embellish the story. We won't want to do that.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to exaggerate. I mean, you're just telling the truth, you know. Just a little part of it. I mean, that, you know, it is one three-ring circus on top of another. It is far exaggerated.
All right. And then, because I think it is a discussion that could continue on. It's kind of like you do have to spend your time, you know, kind of organizing your thoughts. But you also have a flyer and some other kind of basic information for people that if they're looking to hand this out to people or get the word out that you don't have to take the vaccine.
Yeah, that's the thing. My biggest contribution in this field, besides doing a little radio, in fact, I got a call from one that heard one of my shows on the flu shot by one of the the top radio show on the internet, John Croxton. I got a call from somebody that listened to that the other day. Yeah, and so my biggest contribution is my series on my journal at journal.livingfood.us, which is called the Vaccine Nation Series, which is a series of articles. And then I researched the world, just like on the fluoride. I found the best vaccine flyers that were out there, and I couldn't find anyone that was really exceptional. So I put one together that I think is the top one out there, and it's you can print them off. There's two to a page, and you just cut them up. And they print real nice in color or black and white. They're red and black and white, and they've got all the information with the references on it. So, you know, that one can be had at I've got the website here if you want it. It's j.mp/vaxkits. Vax, V-A-X-K-I-T-S.
Yes.
So those
and
are my kits.
On our website as well as a direct
my kits
as well.
had a bumper sticker. Nobody seemed to want to buy them, but we had stickers also. That was kind of a fun project where you print them out and they make stickers and you peel them off, put them on kids' lunch bags or people's arms. You know, and it says basically, you know, my child, my choice, and underneath it says education before vaccination.
Well, David, thank you very much. I'm sure we could continue on for quite a long time, continuing to document the different pieces, but I think this has kind of laid the groundwork to getting more information. I think that's the biggest piece, is you've got to kind of set this into your mind that what we're saying is true, and you have to wake up to the fact that it is true. And then once that takes place, then the information starts to fall right in line. With,
yeah, it all. And then you can figure out everything else that's going on.
Yes, that's the starting point.
You know, like
point.
The GMOs and the food additives and all that, you know.
Exactly. Well, David, thank you very much for coming on the show today. We will have all the links up to everyone mentioning to he's got some other organic and he's got some raw milk stuff as well. I think he does a fantastic job. I've really enjoyed. We've done a couple interviews that we'll be posting over the next couple weeks. It's the Journal of Natural Foods and Health. And thank you very much, David, for coming on the show.
Yeah, please give me a call when we're done here. And thank you. I'll be happy to come on anytime.
Cool.
Bye-bye.